Brother. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good to be here on the first day of the week, together as a body, here in worshipping our wonderful, amazing God. I think it's safe for me to say that God is love, and I think we can all experience that fact. Without any question. You know, the sermon I want to look at today is God's visible love. God's love is visible in any way, shape and form. You know, trying to be reliant upon just the love of the world is not an easy thing. You know, quite often, you know, the world fails. It fails us, lets us down. But God never fails. God never lets his people down. I see the love of God, and I've seen it present in this congregation. Right from the beginning, you know, one of the first blessings we had as a congregation, I remember the first time Sister Edith, first time I met her, she was carrying Alita. Our first birth in this congregation in a physical form, Brother Emmanuel and Sister Eve. I remember Brother Emmanuel coming to the front of the building and dedicating his child to God. I will always remember that. And I remember feeling and seeing the love of a God who can do the most incredible things. We have seen this year some of the most amazing, wonderful situations where things were not looking good physically for some of our members. But God's love intervened and prayers answered and changes took place and health was restored, and it was a wonderful thing to experience as a Christian. I see God's love. We see God's love. We see it in marriages, do we not? When two people come together in the bond of love and they unite themselves. And as Christians, we unite ourselves before God. And so that love is before God. That love is there through our births. But we see God's love through our careers and through our homes and through our gifts and finances and the way that he blesses us. How can we not love God? This morning we have broken bread around the table to remember the death of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. The greatest gift of love that we could ever have. And what I want you to do, I want you to see God's love. Because when you see his love, it will lift you. It will lift you. When you were in the lowest places in your life, see God's love. That is what gets me through. You know, through 35 years, something like that, of the ministry that we've been involved with. You know, often we've experienced things that we've never really understood until later, when you suddenly realise, oh, what a great God. I get it. I see what he was doing. I understand where he was taking us. But sometimes we can't even see it. But God has a plan. One thing you can never forget is that God loves you and he wants you to see that. 1 John 4 and verse 8. He who does not love God. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. If you don't know love, you don't know God. Because God is love. How does that work? Well, listen. When you know the extent of the love of God, you cannot help but love everything. Even the things that are going wrong in your life, even the struggles that you are facing, even the hardships, God is love. And his love is so immense that when you grasp it, you cannot help but love because of the love that he has for you. You see, love defines and love describes the nature of God. If you are not coping, or if your life is falling apart, or if you're at a point in your life where you're in despair, remember the love of God, and remember that He wants you to see. Brethren, we must look to know the love of God. Look at the love the world offers and compare the two. God's nature is love. It's defined by love. It started with love. The creation was in love. Man and woman was created in love. The things that God gave were all about His love. The choices that He allowed His people to have was to define His love. God is a God of love who wants people to choose to love Him. And so therefore there has to be an opportunity of choice. Otherwise God ends up with people created and designed to automatically love Him. I don't want people to love me because they're forced to love me. That's dictatorship. I want people to love me because they choose to love me. And God's nature is love. And He chooses that you make a choice in your life. The Apostle Paul, when he was Saul, he executed Christians. He executed God's people. He persecuted people. And God loved him. Judas Iscariot betrayed the Savior for money. He gave up the Savior to be crucified for money. And Jesus loved him. Peter denied him three times. Only three times. How many times have we denied him? Peter denied him three times. And you read John 21 and you'll read how Jesus shows his love to Peter and says, "Do you love me more than this?" And what he wanted to do is he wanted to hear Peter say, "Yes, Lord, I love you." Three times. Three times denied, three times the opportunity. You see, he was loved despite being the one that denied him. The soldiers who hung our Savior on the cross were loved by God. And in fact, the one they hung on the cross was hanging to save them. The mockers who spat on him and betrayed him. The scourges who whipped him and tore the flesh from his body. God loved them. And you and me, what have we done? What are we doing? What have we done? What are we doing? How many times in our life? Listen, before I was a Christian, I was living the worldly way. I was just, the world was my life. And that's all I had. But when I gave my life to Christ, I gave my life to Christ because from hearing the message of salvation, I realized that God loves me. Even me. Even the Apostle Paul says, "I'm the chief of all sinners." And yet my Savior died for me. And so, no matter who we are, no matter what we have done, no matter where we have been, be assured of this: God loves you. He loves each and every one of us. And even when we become Christians and we start the journey and we make them mistakes and we make them failings and we come short and we sin and we put the sin right and then we sin again and we're putting it right and we're sinning again. Almost like dirty laundry, constantly washing and cleansing and washing and cleansing. And He does that because of the love that He has for us, because God is love. Ephesians 3, verse 16, that He would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. You know, we've been emphasizing this for some time now, the inner man. Listen, we are walking in spirit. We're worshipping in spirit. We're no longer living under the old covenant. What matters is what is within us and how that is portrayed comes out of us. In other words, the way that we act, the way that we live is subject to what is inside here. If Jesus is in your life and if he's in here, then you will change your walk and you will be able to cope with the things that come your way. And you see, he says he would have granted you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. You see, that is the bond. That is what will hold your life together and keep you on track. It's the love that we need to be grounded in. Not just touching it or just a slight sample of it. We need to be rooted in it. Our foundation should be completely firm, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth and height. To know the love of Christ, which, listen, it says, which passes knowledge. The love that he has for you is immense. The width, the length, the height, the depth. That you may be filled with the fullness of God. And your life should be full of him. And your life should be sustained by him. The stability, the decisions, the actions. You know, we should be able to pray every day saying, Lord, let my lips be your lips. Let my hands be your hands. That means everything these hands do, may they be done for you, by you. Let my feet walk in your ways. Let my words be your words. Let my mind think your ways. Let me follow your law and your ordinances and follow your path to salvation, because God, I am aware of the fact that you love me. And no matter what happens in this life, this love, which goes all the way back, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and came down to this earth because of love, and because of the love that God had for you and me. Listen, whoever I meet in life, if I meet somebody on the street, whether they come from prison, whether they've got an addiction, whether they've been through things or going through things or dealing with things, I cannot help but tell them, did you know that God loves you? Do you not know that God even loves you as you are right now, and he can change your life and make a difference? Psalms 57 and verse 10, for your mercy reaches unto the heavens and your truth unto the clouds. And Psalm 103 and verse 11, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is mercy towards those who fear. You know, we often talk about mercy. Love is the word that comes next to that. What a blessing. I deserve so much more. But God says, listen, through my son Jesus, through his blood, through his sacrifice, I am going to give you freedom to lose that place in hell and gain that place in heaven. And the reason is because I love you, I sent my son for you, and I want you to see my love. I believe strongly that when people see the love of God, it will make them want to choose him. Because it's the extent of his love that changes lives. When we define the height of the heavens, that's the measure of his mercy. Yeah, I sat there one night and I was Googling the planets, and they get all the satellites and all the all these amazing cameras and technology, and they go as far as they can. But there comes a point when even that stops. Even with the years and years of technology, they still can't show you any more. There's more and more and more. And we can't even see it. But the scriptures say that the measures of his mercy are beyond that. Beyond what you can see. In John 17, we often refer to the Lord's Prayer, don't we? We often think of our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy kingdom's here. Okay, so it was an example that, that Jesus used. But in John 17, it's very much, I would say, the Lord's Prayer. And it's where Jesus prays for his people. He prays for his disciples. He prays for those who are there. He prays for those who are to come. Those who are afar off, that is us. And in this prayer in John 17, he talks about this relationship that he wants. And he says in verse 23 of John 17, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you love me. That was the prayer of our Saviour, who says, I want the world to see that the love you have for me, you have for them. This love is immense, and it should get us through our daily lives. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, now abide faith, hope, love. These three. But what is the greatest of these? It's love. Demonstrated by God towards us. It is the bond that holds us together and keeps us stable and keeps our feet grounded firmly in our relationship with our loving God. So we can look to heaven, but what about on the earth? What about his love today? The earth is full of God's love. In Psalm 119, verse 64, it says, the earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. You know, everything we have is a gift from God. We say it, but we don't always realize it, or we don't always believe it. Everything is from God. Even the things that we take for granted, like the oxygen we breathe. You know, you go and fall in a river and you can't breathe, you're under the water. Then you appreciate the oxygen. And until your head comes back out of the water so you can start to take it in, you suddenly think, my goodness, I can breathe again. Day after day, he provides for our physical needs. You know, this morning, early this morning, I tell you, I like to walk my dog very early in the morning. So this morning was just after 6 o'clock. And I was walking my dog, and I like to pray and meditate, and I think about the day ahead. And I was walking the dog, and I was going down this track. And just as I came to the track, I came to the road, a crossroad, to cross over to the next section of the track. And there was no one around but one man on a bicycle. And he was riding down the road singing from the top of his voice, how great thou art, how great thou art. As he passed me, I joined him. And he turned around and he shouted, praise God. You see, God is amazing. He provides for our physical needs. And when you stop and appreciate it like this man was doing, wherever he was going, he was heading somewhere, singing, how great thou art. Our jobs, our children, our homes, our environment, brethren, don't lose sight of the love that he has for each and every one of you. Every good gift, James says in James 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. In the class this morning when Brother Gammy was teaching, and I find that for a second I was just thinking about the Israelites and how God just showered them with what they needed. And Brother Gammy was talking about sometimes we pray for what we want. God provides us for what we need. And I was thinking of the Israelites and wondered how would we have coped? Would we have been the complainers? You know, eating the manna and just drinking the water and just walking and walking and walking and walking and walking and just fed up with life. We would probably be the complainers, saying we were better off back where we came from. You see, every good gift and perfect gift is from above. But listen, we have to stop and appreciate what those gifts are. Sometimes the basics that we have are sufficient. They are good gifts and they are perfect gifts and they're from above. And they come down to us, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. In 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 10 it says, now may he who supplies seed to the sower, the supplier, and bread for food, the provider, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Which brings me on to this. The love of God provides for our physical needs, and we always think about them, don't we? I need my food. I wake up in the morning and I'm hungry. And Brother Gary was saying, we fast in our sleep. And so we wake up and probably one of the first things we're thinking about is I need a drink and I need something to eat. Our physical needs. And the love of God supplies those. But what about our spiritual needs? In 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, everything. He's the supplier of all our needs through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. He supplies us everything, all sufficient. You will get your spiritual food from him. You will get your physical food from him. He supplies all that we need. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for who? For us. For all of us. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You see, the love of God was to the point that he took care of our spiritual needs through the death of his own son on a cross. And we need to look within ourselves and see if we are allowing the love of God to dwell within. You see, God deals with us on a personal level. That's one of the joys of Christianity. That, you know, when you get to know God, it is a relationship. It's not just somebody who, you know, it's not like somebody on a stage at the front and there's a stadium full of people and you're in the stadium and you're trying to get his attention and you're hoping he sees you and you're waving your hands and there's this star at the front on this stage and you're in this football stadium, Wembley Stadium. And you're trying to get the attention. Everybody's trying to get the attention of the one at the front. Do you know that God meets you on a personal level? I want you to understand that God's love is so intense that he's in a relationship with you. And God does that in such an amazing way. In Psalm 63 and verse 1. He says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness, there's the word, loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Because God is love, is a flowing resource of spiritual strength. And if you want to get through this life as a Christian, you need to use the resources that He has given. And one of those is understanding of the gift that He has given. On a personal level, but the grace of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace towards me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. That is 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Through God, through His Son, you are who you are. It is God's grace that makes us what we are. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Let me ask you this question then. Where would you be, Christians, without Jesus Christ? And let me also extend this to those who maybe haven't accepted Him yet, and tell you that where I am right now because of Jesus Christ is the most amazing place you could ever want to be. To be able to go through life knowing that there is a God. To be able to go through life knowing the love of God. To go through life knowing what He has done for me, how He has changed me, how He has brought peace in my life. There's always problems, but aren't they easier when you're in Jesus Christ? Because of the love that He has. Without Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ compels us. Because we judge the verse that if one died for all, then all died. And He died for all. That those who live should live no longer for themselves but for Him. You see, when you become a Christian, your direction changes. You have something to live for. You have something to aim for. Something to drive towards. And each day through our lives, we come through these situations. We refer to Romans 10, 17, where we say that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And in Mark 16, talks how we need to believe through the things that we hear. You know, it brings belief and change. Luke 13 talks about repentance, Philippians 2, 9, confessing Him as Lord. The other night we had a baptism in here, where a person just said, I want to give my life to Christ, because I realise He loves me. And this person came and confessed Christ as Lord, and went into the water and was immersed. He came up, saved, and in the body of Christ, because she was added to the body by Him. And that's Acts 2 and verse 38. It's all in the Bible. And of course, brethren, we as Christians have to live our life, Revelation 2:10, by being faithful to the end. I pray that you can see His love for you. I want you to take this message of His today. Take it with you. Take it home and think about this. Can you see the love of God? Can you see Him? How can we not love when God shows His love? He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. Let's have the invitation. Let's stand and sing.